Friday the 6th of June, Mem Zayin Laomer, Rabbi Mordechai Nissim, Real Limud HaTorah versus Entertainment Torah.
I want to speak today about the connection between Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim in the Omer, which we've now actually gone past that period, but it's still part of the Omer, and Matan Torah, which is in a couple of days from now, when Shoshem HaGvola. So there's actually a Gemara which connected two together, which is quite a famous Gemara. I'm sure most of you have learnt it before. But I wanted to look at this Gemara in Menachos, which is the Ikkar Sugya, which deals with writing a Sefer Torah and Sofros, and that's where the Gemara Rabbi Akiva is mentioned. And a similar account which is in the Gemara Shabbos, which is also about Matan Torah, but there's a few differences, quite differences between the two Sugyas, and from there to contrast them and to see that perhaps there's actually two types of Torah. That's what I wanted to say, which we've actually linked to in the title, which is real Torah versus entertainment Torah. That's my way of contrasting the two. Entertainment Torah is something which is more inspirational and maybe fun, but isn't necessarily going to help a person to grow to become a Talmid Chacham. Okay, so it says in Gemara in Menachos on Kaf Tes Amud Beis, it says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav." Rabbi Yehuda said, "Name of Rav." B'shach she'ala Moshe l'Moron, Moshe went up to Shemayim. Ma'atzul Hakadosh Baruch Hu she'yoshev. He found Hakadosh Baruch Hu sitting down. Notice this. He's sitting down. She'yoshev b'koshei k'tayim natiyo. And Hashem was putting the crowns on the letters. Right. So he was spending extra time putting the crowns on the letters. Who knows if he wouldn't have put those crowns on the letters? Perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu got away a little bit earlier, and we wouldn't have to build. They wouldn't build the golden calf. Who knows? But he was putting. He found very important to put these crowns on the letters, right? Amarefanav. So he says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mi Me'akev Al Yadcha. Who's holding you back that you should spend this time putting these crowns on the letters? You could have just given the Torah without the crowns. Amalo Adam Echad Yeshiatil Liyot Misav Kamadurot. There's going to be a certain individual that's going to come after a certain amount of generations. Akiva ben Yosef Shemo, his name is Akiva ben Yosef, this Rabbi Akiva. She'atid li drosh, I've called kots for kots. He's going to give drushes on each kots, is like a thorn, which actually means the crowns themselves, the tagim of the letters, right? So each one of those tagim, those crowns, as we call them, yeah, he's going to give a drusha. It says, tilim, tilim shel halachas, bundles and bundles of halachas. Now, it doesn't say gematrias, and it doesn't say, kinds of inspirational ideas. It says halachas, and it's proper halachas. Rabbi Akiva is going to teach us halachas from the crowns of the letters. Right? We need to know what that means. Amale ponav ibn shalom, hareuli, I'd like to see him. Amalo chazol achorecha, go backwards in some kind of time machine, which really means forward, obviously, you know, as far as we're concerned to the time, but it means that Moshe Rabbeinu went out of this existence into another one. And he appeared in Rabbi Akiva's chair. Halach v'yashav b'sof shmona shuvos. He went at the back of the eighth row, because the Rashi explains that in those days they'd start a class and people in the back row were usually the ones that weren't so advanced. So he's another classical. And they'd suddenly advance forward, right, as they would answer questions, etc., and they'd be brought to the front. V'loaya yoda. And he didn't know. I don't know if it means from the front of the speaker, or it means from the back of the glass. So you're sort of somewhere in the middle. Depends how you look at it. Lo haya yoda ma hen omrim. Moshe Rabbeinu had no clue what was going on in the shit. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what was happening. Tashash kocho, he became weakened. Kibon shi'agil adavar, when they got to a matter that needed explanation, says Rashi. Right, Amrul Tamidav, and this is the students. Amrul Tamidav, the students of Rabbi Akiva asked him. They said, Rabbi, minayin lecha? How do you know this? Where have you worked out these bundles and bundles of halachas from this particular crown? Where did you know this from? Amalehem halacha le Moshe Misinai. It's halacha that came down to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Yeah, so that means it was passed down through Moshe.
Ed Matan Torah, there was no Sefer Torah here.
There's no Sefer Torah, but so how
could you attack him when there was no Sefer Torah here?
Okay, so hang on a second, and we'll try and explain it. Okay, there's lots of midrashim that explain that answer, but we'll try and use the one which is the most mainstream. Okay, so as it carries on, then it says, Rosh Rabbeinu says, Yashvadaito, he felt better, right? He became more settled. Now, so the first question is, how can Moshe Rabbeinu not know it when it was halakha l'moshe m'sinai? How come he didn't know it? So according to Rashi's Mahalach, it's very simple, because the Torah hadn't yet been given. So as this week's parsha says, Vahike Chalot Moshe, when Moshe finished the Torah, that means at the very last moment Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything. But before that, the Midrash says it was going through one ear and out the other, literally. So it says it was going in and out. He wasn't staying in his mind, in his memory. The last minute, everything came together. So that's one way of explaining it. Okay. However, there are other ways of explaining it. I'm going to say the following: the Malbim and the Orachaim Hakadosh, and sorry, the Orachaim Hakadosh and the Arizal, not the Malbim. Malbim is the other way. They learn the following: that when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, right, the whole entire Chumash, he didn't explain to him what was in the Chumash in terms of how it works out with all the mitzvahs. Right? He just gave him the Chumash. However, we know from the Gemara elsewhere that when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim with the Torah, with all of the Torah and the laws, and he taught every single halakha from the beginning till the end. Probably that's how the Masechtas came along. It doesn't say that, but that's probably right. And as he said over all the Torah, he said over to Aaron, and then Aaron's sons, and then the Kenim, and then all of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe stood aside, and then Aaron repeated the entire Torah with all the halakhot. Yeah. Again, to his sons, to the Kenim, and to all of Klal Yisrael. And then the sons of Aaron repeated it to the Kenim, and the Kenim repeated it. Everyone heard it four times. Right? And every single halakha was said, except it's a machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, whether every halakha was said in the details, klalatel vegam prater, only the klalim was said, and when they got to the matter which required explanation in the desert, we had to keep, like for example, Pasha of Bilam, we had to keep the laws of Kashrus with Gulei Nochrim, so then they had to explain it in greater depth again. That's an argument. But the entire Torah was said of the Klal Yisrael so they could keep the Torah immediately after it was given. It's very important to know. And that also means, that also helps us to understand that it's possible, therefore, according to that Mahalak, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know from which psukim came the halakhas. He knew what the halakhas were, he could say them over, give a shiur on them, he could explain them all, but which psukim they come from, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't yet necessarily know. It had to be worked out by Bnei Israel, by the Talmid Chachamim. And that also explains the Gemara at the end of Sotah, which it actually explains to Rabbi Akiva. It says the last Mishnah says that Rabbi Akiva passed away, batel kvodat Torah. The Torah was lost. What Torah was that? And Rashi says the ability to learn from every letter and every vowel and every ta'am, right, which is extra, which changes from singular to plural. That ability was Rabbi Akiva and his students. And when that was lost, it was no more, it was batel from the world, right? That's what it seems to say. And then there's a bright at the end of the Gemara that says it calls it Zeroei Torah. So a slightly different terminology in expressing the greatness of Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. It calls it Zeroei Torah, which means the support of the Torah. And there Rashi says that when you learn the Svara, the logic of the reasons of the Torah, and you learn it out from the actual psukim, from the verses, how they join together. So in other words, you've got the logic and you've got the verses, but they weren't told together by Hashem. The Talmidei Chachamim had to work it out. And that was more or less probably true until the end of the writing of the Gemara, because we find in the Gemara in the Darim, it says Heter Nedarim Parchim Be'avir. Remember that Mishnah. The ability to annul a vow is flying in the air, because there aren't a lot of sources in actual Chumash to back it up. It doesn't say it anywhere. There's about eight different explanations in the Gemara. Eventually, Amar Yitzchak Lo Yachel Devaro. He must not profane his word. He can't, but somebody else can by annulling it and undoing it. So I mean, Rabbi Yitzchak was an Amara. How did that mean? From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, through the time of all the Tanaim in the Mishnah, right into the writing of the Gemara, eventually somebody comes along and says, right, I've worked out the Pasuk. So you see, you learn from there that the Pasukim weren't necessarily explained at the time of the giving of the Torah. But actual Chumash was. Actual Chumash was given down as a book. Yeah, this part was the Midrash says that they were flying in the air, the letters flying off the Sefer Torah, because all the halakhot were written on the tablets. The entire Torah was written on the actual tablet. Oh. So that's an answer. It's a number of Midrashim that say that. In fact, the ink, when Moshe wrote the second tablets, remained, it was extra, because that was the Torah Shabbat Al-Peh that was left out the second tablet. And that's what we have today when we learn the Torah Shabbat Al-Peh.
So how do you understand later on Hashem dictates him?
It doesn't mean that halachot. I mean, your question was, it could be the tagim of this parasha. I mean, it could be the other tagim. It doesn't matter. All we know is that the tagim, which I don't want to go into more than that right now, because we're going to run out of time. So this is the account. Then it finished up by seeing Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to see the end of Rabbi Akiva, which is quite sad, how he was martyred. And I'm not going to go into that right now, because there's a similar Gemara. But this is the main sugya. After this sugya, straight away, says the Gemara, after the two dots, Amar Rava, Rava says, Sheva Otiot Tzichim Ziyunim, the seven letters that have to have Tagim, and they are shut in this gift. Right? And then it talks about a few other letters. If you're a sofer, you know the seven letters shut all have three Tagim. And then there's Bedek Chai, another six letters which have one Tag. A few of those other letters of the Bedek Chai are also mentioned in this sugya. The accurate sofrim, they make the chet with a stick through the top, which is like the Rashi chet with a line, which becomes the Rabbeinu Tam chet, if you're familiar with it. There's a nice picture here that show it. But our chet is like a flat roof, and there's a stick going on the top, which is a tug. That's Rashi's chet. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam has two zines like this, because it's called a hatchback. It breaks through the roof. Okay? So this is the Gemara that talks about these particular letters. There's one letter which is not mentioned in this Gemara which has a tag on it, and that's the Kuf. That's the Kuf. So as we go to the Gemara, and then remember that for a moment. Now if we jump to the Gemara in Shabbat, which has a similar account, but in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Yeshua ben Levi, generally in Shas, was the expert in Agadta. But many Agadtas were mentioned in his name, and as you know, the story actually went up to Shemaim alive, and in the Megillat Sittarim, the Ramban has got a long parish explaining exactly what he saw and how he saw it, there's a midrash about it. He saw the next world, he saw the martyrs, people who died, Kiddush Hashem, etc. Now the Gemara brings us then a list of accounts about Matan Torah, and in one of them it says the following. It says, Amar Yishma Levi b'sha'a she'ala Moshe l'marom when Hashem went up to Shemaim, Matzu l'Akadosh Baruch Hu she'ha koshek torim l'otiyot. He found that Akadosh Baruch Hu was putting the crown on the letters. Sound familiar? What's missing? He wasn't sitting down. Why doesn't it say that Hashem was sitting down in this Gemara? Huh? Does that mean he's standing up? I mean, what's an afkimin Hashem standing up, sitting down? What's the difference? Amar lo Moshe. He says, Moshe, en shalom be'ilcha, don't people greet anybody down where you come from in your city? Right? City of Har Sinai. Right? Doesn't anybody greet anybody over there? Amar lo Hashem, if I'm klum yeshevich not ten shalom le'rabo, the servant doesn't say hello to the master. I can't speak until I'm spoken to. Amar lehaya lechalos reini. You should have helped me nonetheless. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "So help me." Mead amar lo. Immediately Moshe Rabbeinu says the pasuk, "The ata yigdal na koch Hashem kasher dibata." That Hashem's greatness should be as Hashem said. Does anyone know when that pasuk was? We find that in the Chumash.
Sure.
Huh? Sure. Yeah. What's it with regard to what? The building of the golden calf. After they build the golden calf, Hashem wants to punish the Jews, and Moshe Rabbeinu is struggling with Hashem to try and get them to be forgiven. And he says, "V'atag yigdal na koch Hashem kasher dibata." That's actually in Kitissa. So how can you be bringing a pasuk at this point in time chronologically before we even got the Torah? For bringing a pasuk in our Chumash, we find after the building of the golden calf. Yeah. So this particular pasuk we find all over in the Hashkafah of the Torah, and the Maharal, the Ramchal mentioned it a number of times. But whenever it talks about the human beings in the world being like a partner with Hashem in the creation, meaning creating something, it brings this pasuk. It mentions this pasuk. Hashem's koach is through human beings and their expression in the world. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu's greatness is expressed in the world. And if we use that interpretation, it will make more sense. But why is it that it doesn't mention sitting down? Why doesn't it mention Rabbi Akiva? Right? Hashem is writing these crowns. Moshe doesn't say to Hashem, what do you need them for? Hashem says to him, why don't you greet me? And he says, it's possible we should join in with you and bring your greatness into the world by expressing it outside. Now here Rashi does something very interesting. Because we know that really these crowns that we're talking about, are seven of them are mentioned in the Gemara and Menachos, like we learned before. And another five of them also, four or five also mentioned in Menachos. So if Rashi wanted to tell us what these crowns are, what should he say? Look at the Gemara Menachos and you know what these crowns are. But he doesn't do that. Rashi says, Kigon hanak da'amin reper kabonet, like the ones that we say in per kabonet, which is later on in the Gemara and Shabbos. And then he says, after explaining the whole thing, he says, the chen sha'anis gets, which is in Menachos. Before sending us to the real place, he sends us on a trip somewhere else, to take a little detour in Perek HaBoneh. And the question is, why does Rashi do that? Okay, it's the last source I'm going to do, and then I'll explain it how it all we'll put together. So in Perek HaBoneh, we just mentioned this Gemara that we learned, that was in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So the Gemara in Perek HaBoneh actually says that one day, in the Beit Midrash of Yehoshua ben Levi, he didn't come that day. So when he arrived, he walks in, his students say to him, oh, shame he wasn't here today, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. He says, ha'idna, because today, right, some Daradiki, a Cheder teacher, walked in, he says, and he said Torah that had not even been said. Here it is, Amr Leila Rabbanan Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, after Daradiki ha'idna, today came a Cheder teacher, Lebei Midrasha, Amr Mili, and he said words of Torah, that afilu bimei Yehoshua ben Nun no itma. He said words that were so amazing, right, that even in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun they were not said. Now we have a problem from that statement already. How can you have part of the Torah that did not come down from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua? Then where did it come from? All the Torah came from Moshe Rabbeinu. He told it to Yehoshua ben Nun, and we've got the rest of it. Sure, we've lost some along the way. So how did this Cheder teacher find Torah that didn't come down from Yehoshua ben Nun? But then you're saying he did come down from Moshe, and even Yehoshua didn't know it. That's just maybe we'll see. Maybe that's true. But what did he say exactly? So he didn't say. He said something which is very nice. He went through the alphabet. He says aleph bet. What's aleph base? Aleph base, right? Aleph bina. That the first thing to be a chief of understanding, right? Then gimel dalet. What's gimel dalet? Gomel dalet. You have to give money to the poor. Gomel is the gimel. He says, why does the head of the gimel run across forward? Because running after the poor man. And why does the dalet run the other way? Because he's too embarrassed to look at the one that's giving him, but he just puts his hand behind, which is why there's a little bit at the back of the roof of the dalet to receive the money. So this Cheder teacher comes on with beautiful inspirational ideas going through the alphabet. Eventually comes to the kuf. He says, why does the kuf have a crown on it? He says, because after him comes the Rasha, the resh. Right? And if the Rasha is running away from the Holy One, the Kadosh, if he turns around and he goes back, he'll become a Kadosh, and Hashem will give him a crown. And that's why Rashi sends us over here to explain to us why the Kuf has a crown. But that's only one letter, the main letter, that Rashi gets with you in Gemara Menachos. Why is Rashi sending us here first? I mean, there's only some stories about some. You and I could sit down and go to Aleph Beis and find some nice sounding ideas from the Aleph Beis as well. I mean, it's not, it doesn't mean that that's halachas. They're just inspirational ideas. So, my Rabbi, I think that what's going on here is these two accounts are teaching us two different ideas of learning Torah. Two different ideas of learning Torah, which I think is very pertinent and very appropriate for this particular congregation of people on our level, and also before the giving of the Torah that we should prepare for Shavuos, which is on a few days' time. The one kind of Torah which we're talking about in Menachos is we're talking about Rabbi Akiva. It was every generation, the Gemara says in Sotah, as we mentioned before, that was able to take the Chumash and break it down by the meanings, the svaras behind the logical explanations of what the idea behind the psukim, and then take the words and then break them down into letters. And Rashi says over them in Sotah, bat ubat ani doresh, the vav that adds on ubat from bat, even that Rabbi Akiva had a drasha for it. The vav, one extra vav is there for a reason. Anyone knows who studies Gemara, you don't find it in any other religion that it questions itself to try and pages sometimes to find out the significance of one single letter, one single word, to change from singular to plural, plural to singular. It means so, male to female, masculine to feminine. It means something, and therefore there's for a reason. It's not end of vav, it says Rashi, she'end kavod torah kamo gedram is there. There's nothing greater than Rabbi Akiva's great, because he calls it in kavod torah. She'en davar levatala. There's nothing in the Torah that is there for no reason. Everything has significance. Rabbi Akiva's generation was that generation that could work it out. And his students had that same potential to achieve it. And it was only because they had such a great potential on their personal level that they were punished. Like it says, that those on a higher level have a higher judgment because they can achieve more. We have B'nai Torah here in this country, in England, in London, in this area, northwest London, and we're dedicated to learning Torah. We come here on a regular basis, Baruch Hashem. So there's a certain responsibility upon us as well in Limud HaTorah, in learning Torah. That just like Rabbi Akiva, his generation, his students, had a certain a potential, we have that potential too. And we have to try and meet our abilities. And it's either Rabbi Akiva, his Torah was halachas. Tilim shahalachas, that they learn out from the letters. They weren't drushes. However, there's another kind of Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting down. And it doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says there's going to be somebody that's going to catch me out in a future generation. In Menachos it says Rabbi Akiva is going to come, he's going to catch me out, because if I don't put the right crowns on the letters, he's going to come along and he won't be able to darish in Tirish HaLachos. Those halachas won't come in the world. They won't be able to explain where in the Chumash how we learn out certain halachas of Gemara's and Mishnah's. We won't be able to connect the two together. We need Rabbi Akiva to come in with his generation to work it out. So I can't leave out those tugging. Doesn't matter if it takes a bit more time. Hagrid Brokers have to sit down, like a sofa sits down. There's a halakha when you write Sefer Torah, a sofa has to sit down. So Hagrid Brokers was sitting down, writing a Sefer Torah with all the halakhas of writing a Sefer Torah. So we learn out a halakha from this Agalata. Normally we say Agalata don't teach us halakhas. Sometimes you find an Agalata, straight after this Agalata, it says we learn out, you need seven letters require tugging on them. This is what we learned it from, right? We learned from the story. Because Baruch was putting the crowns on the letters. So the Gemara's telling us, we also have a halacha, the Moshe Mishnah, we have to put crowns on the letters. So we're learning out from here that there's a certain amount, there's a certain type of Torah which is called halachas, which we learn out from the Psukim and from the Svarah. There's another kind of Torah, which wasn't even passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua ben Nun. And that's the Gemara of the Dardaki, the Gemara of Shabbat, Kaya Kaboneh. That you can take words, and you can take the Aleph base and you can start darshaning it and making Ramazim and ideas, and it's beautiful entertainment. It's entertainment Torah. Just like we have today, we have Magidim, people going, who are very famous, of Yoel and others are very, very famous, or a bit of Tats, we've got a Tats in Paxton audiences, or Daniel Rowe in Kiruv, people who are doing, they're speaking wonders. You hear them speaking for very inspired. But they aren't usually teaching us the Torah that we learn out from the Psukim, which are the Tired Mitzvahs. Every Gemara is built on a Mitzvah or a Drabbanan. Every single Gemara, we learn a Gemara, is built on a Mishnah. Where did that Mishnah? Which one of the Tired Mitzvahs is it talking about? The Chafetz Chaim, in his generation, he instituted for his Balei Batim, his community, that they had to go through all Tired Mitzvahs every week. He used to go on a Monday and a Thursday, then he made it was once a week on a Thursday, and then he used to say for Charedim, and then he wrote his own Sefer, because he had a cup of Chafetz Chaim. He said, how can a Jew, how can a Yid go through a Chumash and not know the Tired Mitzvahs? The whole Torah depends on the Tired Mitzvahs. And so, learning the Tired Mitzvahs, learning the halachas, how to fulfill the Mitzvahs, is Rabbi Akiva's Torah that we learn in Gemara Menachos. Being inspired to carry on learning Torah and wanting to learn Torah is entertainment Torah. Just like the Dazaki. That's why it says that Atay Ganakoch Hashem Kashedi Bata, Hashem there, that Gemara, the Rishi Ben Lady, was saying, beautify the Torah, put the crowns on it to make it look more beautiful. Came out with more gematrias and more inspirational ideas, how to explain philosophy and things which, you know, make us feel really good. And wow, the Torah is true, it's MS, look at that, it's amazing. I can prove it. I have all kinds of proofs of Torah, the codes. Yeah, these codes they have, all these sort of ideas make us very inspired to know the Torah's emes. But it doesn't tell us how to keep the mitzvahs. It doesn't tell us how to be a yid, how to go forward, how to make sure the Torah carries on from generation to generation. It just inspires us. And usually in those shiurim which are very important, very, very necessary, the people, while they're sitting in the shiur, are feeling very inspired. When they leave the shiur, they're stuck. They have to go back to the shiur again to be inspired again to feel this, but they can't ignite themselves. The way we ignite ourselves is to take a chavrusa and start going through shas, start learning the Mishnayos, learning the Chumash. That's the way that we're supposed to learn Torah. And every single Jew has a job, has a responsibility to learn Kol Torah Kula, the entire Torah. As we learn from Yochanan and Zakkai, there's a medrash in Shira Shirim, if any of you have seen it, that goes through all the parts of the Torah that everybody has to keep on moving until they reach 120, and HaKadosh Baruch will work out in their lives exactly what how far they will get. But the chiyuv to try and reach, keep on growing, never ends. So, in other words, I'm saying, it's wonderful to have inspirational Torah, to be inspired. Yeah? But it's not enough. That is only a taster, it's only a starter, it's only the first course to get our gastric juices building up, to get an appetite, to actually open a Chumash and to sit and a Gemara and sit there banging away. It's very difficult, it takes a lot of energy and it's very hard. But to keep, that is the main ikka of learning Torah that we learn from Rabbi Akiva. Here's a little bit of inspiration to finish off. I was in Mallorca a few days ago in Palma, and I especially wore my long coat. I'm going this direction to my wife, and I'm going to look like a yid. We went to see the Beit Knesset. We met the community, the head of the community there, gave us a whole video show about what's going on there, what they do, and I asked how many people over here wear tefillin every day. And he said, there was one man, but we can't vouch for that there's anybody left that still wears tefillin. I said, how many people keep only kosher meat here in the whole of Palm? He says, I don't know anybody. Don't know anybody. So I said, there must be somebody. He says, no, I don't know. I said, you have to wear tefillin every day. You take it, put it, I'll get a whole drosha to me. So I walked out of the Beit Knesset with my wife and my baby, and we're walking just by the harbour. And I said to my wife, you know, let's go this way. I don't know why. Let's go this way. And just at that moment, somebody comes up to me and he says to me, Shalom. Right? And now these people apparently don't even exist as far as the kehillah is concerned. They don't even know they exist. It's just outside the shul. He says, look, I'm wearing a Haifa football shirt. I'm Israeli, he says. And he says, is there a Beit Knesset around here? So I said, of course there is. It's just over here. I just walked out of there. And he says to me, I try and wear my tefillin every day. He says, and it's very, very hard over here to try and keep kosher meat, but I'm doing it. I'm keeping it like I'm not eating any trade meat. Amazing. So I took these two Israelis, they've been there for a while, they came there to try and settle there, to try and sell merchandise, went back to the Beit Knesset with them. And the point was, is if you're proud to be a Jew, you don't try and hide it. People think you can do kiruv by trying to hide it away. Sometimes it might be true, but I worked for Eshetov for a while and I did experience that. People are scared of beards and things like that. Sometimes you have to look like a Jew and take responsibility for another Jew, because we're all connected. The fact would be Kiva and his students, and they have to take responsibility for all of Klal Yisrael to teach us how everything connects. It mentioned this week's parsha, I'm not speaking about being counted. At least the end of the study, the Malbim says the Jewish people are different to all the other nations because it's like a watch. In his day, I guess the machinery of the day was a watch. The special watches are called. And he says if one part of the watch isn't working, it doesn't function. Right? And all the flags, you see all the flags. Last week's parsha, the Medrash says that Hashem says from all the flags in the world, my favorite flag is Yaakov's flag. And what's the explanation for that? Flags cause diversity, they cause more arguments, usually they're used in wars to show the differences between people. Or we see it in football, they go on the rampage because of different flags and symbolism. Rav Bakshi Doron Shlita, in his Sefer Binyanav, explains the most beautiful idea. He says the difference between the Jewish flag is that it goes back to the time when Yaakov Avinu was giving the brachas around his deathbed in Barashi, Barashas Vayis. That over there brought the Jews together to understand they work as a team. And if one of them doesn't function, the team doesn't work. That's the difference with our flag. Our flag, it says, when they worked well, when the Machaneh was moving, it was in formation and synchronization, everything was perfectly going to move around. Everyone worked together, they had responsibility for each other. So they moved together as one. Then the flags are good because they show us my identity within the group. So the conclusion really is from this is that a Jew doesn't really have an individual identity as a Jew, other than his identity as all of the Jewish people. All the Jewish people together are one identity, and then a Jew has his identity as part of that communal entity. But as a single individual, he has no identity as a Jew. He can be an individual, as a human being, like all the other people of the world, all the nations of the world. But as a Jew, the only identity we have is being part of the whole entity of Klal Yisrael. And that's why I think it's appropriate to finish off by saying on Shavuos, when we received the Torah, we became involved in an arvus, a guaranteeship for each other. It's important to renew that every year and take our responsibility to other Jewish people and for ourselves to bring other Jewish people, especially in Limud HaTorah. Chag Sameach.